Blog Talk Radio.
I want to thank you for joining us another day for Human Rights Demand. Yes, this is Human Rights Demand Channel here on Blog Talk Radio. Mr. Shanupa Monty wanted to talk to the audience today about immigration from a Native American's point of view. Immigration from a Native American's point of view. And I want to thank you very much for joining us so that Mr. Money can bring you this very important message. You know, that's an interesting concept. Immigration from a Native American's point of view. I want to hear it. And if you want to hear it, I ask you to stay tuned. I seem to have lost his call. It dropped. Let me see if I can get in touch with him so that he can bring you his important message. We may get disconnected. If we do, I ask you to come again. But this is going to be a real hoot. Ladies and gentlemen, sorry about the little technical difficulty at the beginning of this show. We have Mr. Manny on the line, and he would like to talk to you about immigration from a Native American's point of view. Mr. Manny is our host for Native American Affairs, which airs on Wednesdays at 3 p.m. But he felt that the situation with immigration needs special attention, so he asked for this show today to be able to address that issue with you. I was a little late getting on the show because I was fighting with cyber stalkers, and it looks like they won. I was not allowed to post my latest article in Dog Justice for Mentally Ill blog here at Google. At Google Plus. I have a Google Plus page called Mary Loves Justice, Neal, N-E-A-L. And ordinarily, when I publish a new article, I post an excerpt from the article on Google+, so that people would know that a new article is published in one of my blogs. And this article is about a young man, a lovely young man, who was murdered in Clay County Jail in Florida. And I suppose whoever kept the article from publishing at Google+, I believe that Florida has already gotten bad publicity from killing so many of its mentally ill inmates this year. It was Florida where Mr. Rainey was boiled to death in the shower, the skin parted from his muscle, and the guards that you saw on video dragging that resisting inmate into that small shower in order to turn the water on him as high as it could go, hot as it could go. He was resisting, and we saw those guards clearly, but neither of them was prosecuted for Mr. Rainey's murder. And we also know that Florida has had numerous tragic deaths of mentally ill inmates. We know that it was Florida that is doing gladiator sports with its mentally ill inmates in a Dade correctional facility. The mentally ill inmates must fight each other to entertain the guards down there. And I don't know if anything has been done. I don't know if anybody lost their job over that cruelty, that barbaric activity. And so now we have a 19-year-old young man who died in a restraint chair. And he was sitting right outside of the guard's view, right there in the guard's view, a few feet away from an observation guard. He had a hood over his head. The young man, they put a hood over his head. I guess the same kind of hoods they put over people's head at Guantanamo Bay. And the young man sat right there and suffocated, a 19-year-old. And so I ask you to go to Double Justice for Mentally Ill and read the article that they will not allow to post at Google+. They want to kill the mentally ill in private. It's their private business how they kill people. So with that, I will turn you over to Mr. Shanupa Money, who wants to talk to you today about immigration from Native Americans' perspective. How are you, Mr. Money?
Oh, I'm doing fine, thank you, and I really take this opportunity to heart to really talk about how the indigenous people here in Turtle Island, you know, feel uncomfortable about what the wage of war is being presented against our brothers down south, the indigenous people in our sister land, which is called Mexico. Mary, can you hear me pretty good? Hello? Hello, Mary? What happened? Hello, Mary? Yeah. I wouldn't put a plaster, man. Hello, Mary.
You all. It appears that Mr. Shanupa Money was kicked off of the air here at Block Talk Radio. So he's going to call back in. You know, we have a great deal of trouble telling you our viewpoints and censoring political speech is the worst form of censorship, I was told by Dr. Ansari, who is a human rights attorney. He's a human rights lawyer, rather. He's licensed by the International Human Rights Court. And, you know, we're going to take all of these intrusions against free speech and free press, freedom of press, freedom of religion. We're going to take all of these intrusions before the United Nations sometime this year. So, Mr. Money, I'm making a note that you were kicked off of Blog Talk Radio today as you attempted to address immigration from a Native American's point of view. So you go right ahead, sir. We appreciate you coming on air. And if they kick you off again, we'll just, you know, tally the times they do it, and we will present that to the United Nations. So go ahead, sir.
Yeah, first of all, thank you all for listening and tuning in to today's show. What I want to start off with is the fact that, you know, under certain circumstances that America deems for people of color, one has to keep in mind that the first settlers that entered our country in 1492 were the real illegal immigrants. Now, during the time when the first colonists arrived in this country, they weren't met by resistance. They were met by welcoming. Therefore, our brothers and sisters of the eastern shorelines from Maine to Florida had administered certain provisions that they had to abide by. But it wasn't written on paper. It was written in mechanisms of life through cultures understanding. Therefore, we paved an opportunity to give them shelter, give them food, give them the benefits that would give them the suitability to have something, because they too were released from exile. It's better to understand that they were released from prison. And so being persecuted during the time when kings and queens, which are still, you know, in a Main Street phase, a majority of these people that had the type of discrepancy, you know, forced upon them at the hands of this type of bureaucracy in a modern standing, you will see that the American citizens and history is prevailing on a sense where they repeat it to falsify the identity of people of color. And so when I see American citizens waving the flag of this so-called great independence and barring my southern people from Mexico, remember, the conquistadors, when they attacked our people down in Little Sister Land, which is known as Mexico, it's better to pronounce it in Mexica Antonias, our mother's little sister. Mexica Antonias means, you know, the land of the little sister. It's just like grandmother's land up in Canada. So you can see that a majority of our people shared the full pledge sovereignty and independence on a freedom. And my people of Mexico have a right to be up here. I mean, why do you think Pancho Villa and Don Quixote took these understandings on to a full pledge understanding? It took, you know, patriots like Tikalele and many others, Emanuelito, and all of them that really took these measures of acceptance and resistance to give our people the right-of-ways to their own freedom and to keep the, you know, conquistadors at bay. You see, that same mentality of what Spaniards had implemented to the First Nations people of Mexico, it still plays out to this day. Now they allow American corporations to go down and neutralize our indigenous people that still are roaming free in Little Sister Land. So if anybody has any say in today's show, they can feel free to call in. You can call in at 347-857-3293 and give us your benefit of a doubt or opinion that you want to acknowledge about what's happening to our brothers and sisters at the hands of the American citizens by protesting our people. Now, the last time I knew of, you know, people being discriminatory about the factions of life, and I mean the factions of life, the indigenous people of Mexico, they have a universal declaration, okay? And that's based upon the United Nations human rights provision. And even that understanding was adapted back in September 10th, 1948, the same as Native people and the indigenous populations within our own country. We have these rights. Everyone has the right to freedom of movement and residency within our borders, such as the state in Turtle Island, which has that class name, you know, Americanized, called America. Now, my brothers and sisters of Mexico have a right to travel about this land freely. And everyone in particular that understands right, they may leave and enter any country, including his own, and they have a right to return to his own country. You see, those are the provisions that the United Nations, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, has a stationary, you know, presumption of that, you know, pronunciation that gives us the development to enhance our culture's identity. So rather than protesting against my indigenous brothers and sisters of Mexico, we need to protest you for all the unhealthy illegalities that you're forcing upon not only the indigenous people, but the African people and the Asians and my brothers and sisters of the South. In no case may a people be deprived of its own means of subsistence. Ladies and gentlemen, America has been at fault since they raped the Constitution. Now, the Constitution was implemented by the Iroquois Confederacy and many other nations that were powerful, such as the Lakota. We were powerful. The American flag belongs to us. Not only the Lakota, but the Cheyenne and Arapaho. They have a validity to own that flag, too, and speak out. Now, this might sound like I have, you know, bestowed blasphemy against, you know, the system, but one has to understand that the reality of what we're presenting today is about our territorial borders. Now, even the indigenous people here in the so-called, you know, continent of America, we face the same type of discrepancy of our brothers and sisters. Now, today I had a meeting with National Parks people, where a lot of my native people in their natural areas have been barred and been prevented from entering and taking part in social activity. Now, what does that tell you, American taxpayers? The Corporation of America does not outline the truth of what the understanding is. If I recognize you as a white man, in my own country, which I damn well do, I'm not preventing you from doing all the unhealthy cleanliness that you do upon people of color, even your own. What I'm telling you to understand is pay attention to the virtues that we are giving you freely to determine your own political status. And that's you, you American citizens, you American people that protect the Commonwealth. When you protect the Commonwealth, that means that your culture is strong. You're depriving yourself to your own means of subsistence. You see, what my brothers and sisters are facing in Mexico, and I'll do the darndest to advocate them, there was a death in the city of Denver, Colorado. A grandmother and her grandchild were brutally murdered, and to this day, there's nobody convicted of it. There's a young boy that was shot to death by law enforcement, three different entities of law enforcement in the state of Oklahoma, from the city to the county to the state troopers division. And this man was shot seven times in the head at point-blank range. Then there was a homeless young man that was brutally murdered in the state of California, repeating history, okay? And then there was another murder of a homeless man in the streets of Albuquerque, New Mexico. Now you think about this, America, you think about this. You have indigenous people, even your own, a Caucasian man that was homeless, and you brutally murdered him. They have a right to enter and leave this country at their own will. But the problem that we face today, it's not about self-determination, okay? It's a political endeavor that neutralizes public opinion, nationally and social and otherwise. So when the citizens, remember, it's people like the African people, our Hispanic and brothers and sisters, which you give a falsified name to, they're indigenous people, and then the First Nations people in the continent of Turtle Island, and our Asian brothers and sisters. We have paved the way for your colonized mind through this Eurocentric behavior to have an opportunity of wealth, America. We have done that. Not you Caucasian folks, no. You people are too greedy. You destroy everything you put your hands upon. You take without asking. And our people have a right by entering, you know, the common areas that they have through a historical, you know, preservation of understanding the identity. Understanding the identity. This is so inhuman that the American empire is destroying people within and without. What gives America the right to protest indigenous people? What gives you taxpayers the right to protest indigenous people? You are living in an occupied territory that does not belong to you, and you claim it to have a name. There's no such thing. The name is called Turtle Island. We have never, ever been given retribution of everything of goodwill, according to what America, you know, utilizes through their perfection of implementing colonial practices. And it frustrates me that many groups out there, many of them, do not put the blame on America. Their citizens, these corporations, they're the problem. And I've said this stressfully over time and time again. When does America have to produce its green card to really enter eminent domain, occupied by First Nations people? And I'm talking about every shed reservation, from Little Sister Land in Mexico to Grandmother's Land up in Canada. The definition of idle no more, okay? And I'm going to get into a real heavy, suitable entity of this. The African people have a sacred name for their spiritual being. My Hispanic brothers and sisters of Mexico have a spiritual name to identify with their creation. We native people have a name for our creator. But we do not take the name in vain. We do not be discriminatory to that. And even our Asian brothers and sisters, they have a spiritual name for their great mystery. But America, on the other hand, you have not have a name for your spiritual being. Number one, you call him two things. In the illustrations of Christianity, you called him the Holy God. Secondly, he gave you a life of a spiritual man that led you guys out of bondage, which you guys call Jesus. Okay? Then these two spiritual beings gave you a guidance. Then you turned around. And after the 3rd century A.D., it's a proven fact that people don't want to get into. When my people wrote freely about this great circle of life, which you call the world, they did it according to their spiritual belief. And so along comes the white man to put up all these borders and bar people. The white man is born and bred out of a barbaric mentality of incarceration. You see, this is what he wants to do to many people of color. It's taking you away from the freedoms that you have. And everyone, even in the international level, recognize this. Many countries in this global environment, global, have not suitable to give the proper necessities of freedom and independence to its First Nations people in every indigenous nation in this globe. And I'm talking about the world, America, and you're part of it. Over the years with immigrations, these laws have been implemented, okay? If you do not understand the ways of people, and I mean people with the ethnic identity, what gives you the right to put up a border against him? Will you put a border against your own child? Would you put up a border against your grandmother? From teaching you the basic fundamental value system of the practices of life, won't you, America? America, you will. You will put a border up. You know what you do to your elders? You put them in jail. That's why you have all these convalescent centers that are created for the elderly. But you give them a unique name, a retirement center. It's still another form of jail to silence your grandmothers and grandfathers. You think about this, America. Yes, I'm anti-America because I am sick and tired of our people being blamed and being driven out of extinction and being barred from having the type of ability to roam about their own indigenous populated area. My God, you took our food away from us. You're taking our value systems. You want our culture. And you're destroying our people within their own system of a common understanding of freedom. Now, if America can prove something to me that is worthy that I will shut up, I will give you that opportunity to do so. And again, ladies and gentlemen, when you're hearing this story today, this is the reality of a story that's still alive. There is nothing wrong with my people in Mexico coming here. They're getting out of dormancy because they're tired of how the Spanish form of government is neutralizing their ability to be free, the same way the Americas are doing it to the First Nations people. If you start by allowing people to teach you the common values of this system, then and only then can you understand that we have a right to exist in our own natural ability of life. And that's the natural law. You can't stop that. Why do you want to put up borders against indigenous people? We do not pose a threat to you, America. You pose a threat to us. And this message I'm giving you, I could be knocked off. I could be brutally murdered. I could be arrested. I could be shot to death at gunpoint by anybody. But I have never, ever, ever invaded you, white America. I have never invaded your premises, your property, what you have. If you give me the opportunity to utilize your understanding in a free, coherent manner, then by God, I am going to accept that understanding to utilize it to prepare and pave an opportunity for me to keep my culture alive in a non-economic structure. The international understanding to this is not about a cooperation. It's not about that. It's the principalities that mutual benefit the international people, and that's every person of color, even you, white America. But see, you have raped your understanding to have that common denominator recognize the covenants of your moralities. See, I'm not talking about morality today. I'm talking about the health in the public and all these restrictions that you continue to put on people. When are you going to put restrictions on yourself? You see, when all these people of color made this opportunity to give you the common ability to understand what your workforce was, it was my brothers of Mexico. It was my brothers and sisters of the African descendants. It was my indigenous people that gave you a place to create your work ethic. And you accepted us to create that for you. And this is the kind of treatment you give us. Now you think about that, America. No one shall be arbitrarily deprived of the right to enter his own country. So my indigenous people in Turtle Island, welcome you from Little Sister Land. In the first place, let's get together, indigenous people, and recognize our brothers and sisters and give them the opportunity to enter our place. Not all of them are having this type of mentality of what America is not seeing. Not all of these poor people that come into my country are bringing drugs. Think about it. That's the way of war that's being waged upon my people. It's about the drug epidemic. But America, you already have it here. You created it in our streets. You created it in our IHSs, our Indian Health Services. You created it in there. It's called pharmaceuticals. And all these enablers that create them is the same pronunciation of what you fear my brothers and sisters of Mexico bringing in. You already have it here. It's called capitalistic control. Ladies and gentlemen, when are we going to understand this whole reality of what this consciousness is being, you know, waged upon? If this is being waged upon us, waged upon again. It's being waged upon us to neutralize our power source of connecting and standing together, not unified, together. When you have a people standing together, indigenous, African, Asian, and even the Caucasian people, that's when you have a real national government. Okay? But in reality, you don't have that. There are illustrations that people have forgotten to remember. I remember a court case that happened years back. And it was called a summary report on the Communist Manifesto. What does that mean? The Communist Manifesto looked at people in Mexico, Canada, America, Venezuela, Zimbabwe, central parts of Africa, and different little small areas that had indigenous population expanding more on a free and independent note. Yes, on a free and independent note. And the United Nations recognized that. There were two people that were really ready to break the World Bank, okay? And they were indigenous people. Muammar Gaddafi was one of them, and another Nigerian brother. They were to utilize the Earth's assets as collateral to break the World Bank. And so they knew they were on the verge of implementing this international policy and procedure to the world. And what do you think happened? They were assassinated by American corporations by utilizing their own to get them. Think about it. This is a message of reality. That's why the Communist Manifesto. What does that really represent? It's a misguided philosophy in which it teaches you, the citizens, to give up the rights for the sake of the common good. You see, but any other ethnic, you know, minority that comes from different countries, if you look at them and do the math, America, you allow all kinds of other immigrants to come into my country. They walk around with their turbans. They have Muslim asylums everywhere, okay? And not once Not once have them nations asked the indigenous people if it was okay to come in and seek refuge. They didn't ask the indigenous people of Turtle Island if they can seek asylum here from us. But instead you ask the white man. The white man has no home in this country. He's still under occupation. When are you going to get that? That's the problem. This is why indigenous people are so angry at these systems. So if you're going to give up that sake of a common good, and it always ends in a police state. This is how the rich get away with murder. They allow these police forces to destroy you, the poor people. One day it's an indigenous person. Tomorrow it's a black person. The next day it's an Asian person. And then just underneath the code of valor, they'll knock off a white person. This is what they repeat, that cycle. They continue to show you that this is a communist form of government. That's why my brothers and sisters are getting out of the same type of Spanish form of government that's being orchestrated upon them. They're tired of being under that yoke of slavery. The abolition of a private property is you, poor people. We need to understand that. So let's say the late Muammar Gaddafi and this Nigerian brother broke Central Bank, okay? Shit, they were ready to then start opening commerce exchange. And they were going to utilize the Earth's assets as collateral. But goddamn, Native people have been trying to do that since the beginning of time. To show you, if you want us to get along and be, you know, accepted into the system, then they allow us not to do that. You see, this also is called preventive justice. The control is the key to this concept, okay? And really listen to me carefully. The government of control is about a communication through transportations and, you know, through these transponders and all these, you know, mine towers that are central around America. It's a homing device that they can hear us. That's why they try to neutralize the truthful messages in this reality we are saying. To share. Remember, our kids are at stake. Look what they were doing on TV, you know, sanctioning people at an early age, early childhood program. My God, man, citizens, wake up and see what your taxes are paying for, man. And if that's the case, then homeschool your children. Tell me what, they're going to be healthier than to be and be more productive by entering modern school. And look at the schools, they're being brought with fences put around them. People are running from this type of atonement of a communist form of government. So now let's get back into the free education for all children that the government does. Okay, that's the biggest lie that America can ever say. There's no free education. Children from the age capacity of 3 to 11 have lost their ability to think for themselves freely. They lost the basic, you know, human relationship with one another. I don't care if they're young, older, younger or older. They lost that. They're not grouped together the way a family does it. You see, we are at fault in that too because we're not addressing that. Rather than fighting for the XL pipelines and all this other, you know, Mickey Mouse fights, they do not. If you want to eat cheese all your life, then go right ahead. There's more to life than just a piece of cheese. And I'm not doing that to be disrespectful. I'm doing that to give you the benefit of a doubt that you can go out there and pick your natural foods from Mother Earth, from Little Sister's land, and even Grandmother's land up in Canada. It's there. But it's all these preventions that the American citizens pay their taxes in to allow a government to neutralize your base. When a people fear the government, do you know what you have? You have tyranny. And when the government fears the people, you have freedom and you have liberty. Now that's what they fear. The taxpayers fear that shit. This is why, man, we're living in a chaotic form of denial. Chaotic form of denial. It's sad that the politicians and all these bureaucrats, and especially the judges, they would have you believe that too much freedom is a result in chaos. It's bullshit. You love to lie, America, because America is one big Indian reservation run by tax-paying mentality. This is why police states must show their brutal tactics of abusing and murdering people. And America loves to repeat history. So therefore, should we be guilty? And should we be gladly to give up all the rights for that, you know, community of the common good? No, you can't. In other words, people acting in that kind of falsified government, what does that tell you? They say we need more laws. We need more employees to put up border patrols to block my people, okay? This is what's happening, America, and you citizens that are listening today, so wake up. Wake up. I've worked with a number of, you know, strong activist people, and one of them was the late Russell Means. I was his personal bodyguard, too. But I've seen this man challenge things that he wanted his people to get out of. He wanted his people to get out of the codependency of the American taxpaying dollars, because the mixed blood, even though he was a mixed blood, and so am I, we've seen how corrupted they became within their own. And they start turning against their own to protect the American system. God damn, when are we going to learn from this, man? It saddens me that we are giving the protection to the white man. The white man doesn't want us to exist anymore. But yet we still bring him in our sacred circles. We bring him to our Sundances. We bring him into our sweat lodges. Because he's the only one that has the greedy monetary existence. He turns people against one another. He turns families against one another. And our people are so used to it, they want to be under that complexity of comfort. That's transparency. There is no way in hell that transparency can exist, because you already have it. And if we're not careful and we don't continue to fight for this real independence of freedom, what we want, the white man is going to think we're all the same. It's coming, folks. That's what's happening. That's what's inside his head. Remember, the Eurocentric mind is barbaric. Therefore, that type of mentality is giving you the ability to see what's happening right before your eyes. And so when you utilize these understandings to enhance this understanding of what I'm saying, there are many leaders out there trying so desperately to try to wake people up. If you allow somebody to be comfortable in using alcohol or drugs, you got him whipped. And they'll put her on masquerades. They won't risk themselves to go to, they won't risk for what they believe in. They won't do that. America knows we're right. The citizens of color are right. They know that. All we're trying to do is assert our independence. And my God, this is what happens. Now, not in closing, but to further this broader impact, because on Wednesday, the Strong Hot Water Society is going to continue with this whole renaissance, with this philosophy about why our people are being persecuted. Not all of my Mexica people in Mexico are a threat to us. Not all of them are. They're getting away from that unhealthy captivity that's neutralizing their base of freedom. They're taking them away from their natural homeland. A lot of my brothers and sisters are fighting down there. They're fighting corporations. These corporations are raping young girls. What happened in Africa? There's a bunch of young girls that still have not come home yet. You think about this, America. God dang, you waged war upon people. You taught them this type of barbaric mentality, so now they're doing it to their own in the name of a falsified freedom. That I'm not saying this to be a chauvinist. God damn it, I'm saying it because I'm sick and tired of living under this yoke of slavery. God damn it, all we are asking is to be free and left alone, because we don't bother you white folks. We're not in the midst of what you're doing. But you always are passing laws and legislation to deprive people of their rights to be free. And it's a society that continues to plot paper. Apparently.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Mr. Manning, may I ask you a question?
Sure, go right ahead.
All right, thank you. As you know, right now, there are a number of children from a Latin American country who are waiting to either be accepted in America or sent back. And some say they would be sent back to certain death. What do you feel about Latin Americans immigrating to America? What do you feel about Mexicans coming in America without documentation?
Well, what I feel to that is my people, first and foremost, they're not called a Mexican. They're called Mexica. Okay, they're indigenous. And there are 319 tribes down there that are indigenous. The Spaniards implemented that name with the American concepts to call them Mexicans. No such thing. See, this is what the history does. Now, I'm not, everybody has a right to, okay, the reason why that people cannot have a free passage to any country is because of how America, remember, there was some prisoners that captured, there was some hostages that were captured overseas because of tourism, okay? And this country went in there and pleaded with them to get them released. Right? But in reality, this was an opportunity to see what was going to happen in the future. Now, children, scores of our children are being sent to, you know, back to different countries. And yes, they are being brutally murdered, okay? But that's not to say that they don't want that Western lifestyle being brought back over there. You see, everybody, in America, you should protect us first. You should clean up your backyard before you can do all this, okay? But you haven't. You still got a large populated area of indigenous people incarcerated against crimes against humanity, man. And when I think about these children being sent off and carted off into non-native foster care families, what does that tell you? They're being beaten. They're being raped sexually, okay? They're being stripped from their ethnic identity. Oh, so now you want to put up a border line to stop things? You even done that to them in Mexico, man. Come on. Let's really do the math here. Do the homework first, all in the name of Christianity. And I'm not saying this to be disrespectful. I'm sick and tired of all this stuff. The rights, the trust, the freedom, the privacy, the dignity, okay? The natural ability to have our liberty is at stake in our religion. We can't practice no more. It's to that point now where they're trying to wage war on religion. It is sad but true. And this is why our people are being brutally murdered. They don't want that Western contamination to be brought back into their country.
Alrighty, I'll talk with you outside because we're on the radio show right now.
So, you know, when I get into this...
Alright, there's nothing I want to hear.
When I get into this, I get really disturbed with this and I'm alarmed with it. Because these children have to pay for you as a human being. Little girls have to pay for you as a human being. Right now, as I'm speaking today, we have families here in the state of South Dakota, here in a country that's rich and wealthy, being driven out of home. These are poor people. Finally found jobs, but yet they're still being driven out of home. See, this is the racial endeavors that America, you know, they use this type of mentality to encroach it on people struggling. A lot of the people from the reservation running to the cities to find employment. This is what the mixed blood does. I'm a mixed blood dude, but I don't do that shit. I'm protecting what little poor people I have. And it frustrates me, man, that the more laws you enhance, the statutes, okay? They violate natural law. When are we going to understand that? The natural rights that give you the understanding to be free are being swept right underneath your feet. So now, as a poor man at the age of 54, do you know, America, I'm still paying taxes? I didn't allow my taxes to put up a border patrol. I didn't allow my taxes to put indigenous people and many other persons of color into jails. No. We're still being deprived of them rights. When indigenous people ain't supposed to pay taxes. My God, this is what's happening here. And this message I'm sharing with you today, I can be knocked off. I can be arrested and put in jail, and I can be silenced forever. This is how devious these people are. They do it at gunpoint. And let's say I don't resist. Boom. That's it. It's over for me. It's over for Chanupa. You see, this is why we take risks of implementing these things. And on the international level, once and for all, once and for all, when you pursue your freedom, I don't care if it's under economic structure, social, cultural, you can develop anything. You are putting your ability of your own identity first. The United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, this was established. The original concept of that wasn't the real truthful one. No. The real one was rape. But yet it was still adopted by the General Assembly. Resolution, 61295. Okay, and it was done on September 13, 2007. That was the fundamental human rights, you know, recognition of our existence in our own country by virtue. So that also implies to our people of Mexico and our people up in Canada, or even our African people. It applies to them and even our Asian people. We are the workforce that allowed America to have that commonwealth, ladies and gentlemen. We are the people, okay? That's the reality. And when you have that unchecked power, which we'll call a foundation of tyranny, to prevent bloodshed in a peacefully removing power from those that abuse it, you, the citizens, have to really look at what's happening here and put that blame and emphasis upon the taxes that you pay into. Sad but true. People like myself and many others out there, we're not recognized as heroes. We're recognized as agitators. We're recognized as violators. We are recognized as people that are destroying you from obtaining this type of capitalistic control. When you're fearing the loss of power, people act out in the name of a government. Oftentimes, you try to seek to regain something that will hold power, okay? That's why I say that. Unchecked power is the foundation of tyranny, man. We have to understand that. And when you look back at this Constitution Shredding Act, think about it. That is preventing our brothers and sisters from having that ability to come over here and, you know, utilize themselves, because it's not happening in their own country. This is what these countries do with that type of falsified government. They drive, you know, poor indigenous people out of extinction, man. That's why we took up arms down there when we went into Mexico to help our brothers. It's no different than what we did here in Wounded Knee in 1973, and again in 2000, and then again 2011. You see, this is what we're talking about, and there's people taking up arms against the system. Look at the brother down in Nevada. Look at the indigenous people in Nevada, the Dan sisters. Look at them. One was brutally murdered. Somebody say, oh, she, you know, it was an accidental death. Nah, Shit, the grandfather blew himself up. When I was down there with the Dance Sisters, the federal government and the whole corporation were going to come in and bomb us. I was there, man. I know what this country's capable of doing. So they lie to you, American people. I don't care what you do in your spiritual quest. But if we're not going to protect the rights of our people, and we are the people, if we're not going to protect the rights of ourselves, then this government is going to continue to violate all ethics. And once they break that trust from you, you have become the wretched refuse of the common reality. And now you have a prevented justice. And that is unconstitutional. That's the act that usurp the rights to your freedoms. Your freedoms. And our children will continue to benefit from this damn corruption and oppression that's being waged upon us. So we have to get back to the basics of standing together. Take these approaches in reality to step up and ask, where is that real Declaration of Independence? Where is that? Where are these things? We can look back in history. Remember, the Declaration of Independence was based on how America utilized its Constitution. On the Constitution of the United States, who created that understanding to create that story? It was a guy named Joseph Story, right? It happened, what, in 1779 and 1845, okay? Then there was two treaties of that government, okay? If you look at the understandings behind John Locke, 1632 and 1704, I believe, or was it eight? That was four, I think. Those are the understandings that we talk about. And what about the common sense, the rights of men? What the hell was his name? Was it Rich? No. Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine was one of them, okay? 1737, okay? 1809. And then what about that other one? The Democracy in America by Alexis de Tocqueville, right? I think so, Tocqueville. And that was done in the early part of the 1800s, 1801, 1805 through 1885, prior to right after the treaties were signed with the Great Sioux Nation of 1851 and 1868. You see, this is what happened. And what led to the biggest mass murder of how indigenous people were subjugated to that? The Boston Massacre during the Tea Party. Think, come on, let's really get into history here. Frederick Kidder, he came out with that understanding. And you can read the transcripts of that in 1804 and 1885 again. You see, this is what we're talking about here. And what about the trial of Susan B. Anthony in 1874? Just before we went into battle in the greasy grass. Think about that. The trial of Susan B. Anthony. See, this is what we're talking about, man. What happened to Cesar Chavez? You see, these are the things. I'm confident that the federal government murdered Russell Means by giving him cancer. I wouldn't put it past my benefit of a doubt that he did that. The same way he had, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. assassinated. Malcolm X, and many other great leaders that proved a point in America, and the rest of them are still alive because they've been brainwashed. They've been, you know, sugar-coated. I mean, I've been there. I've seen it, and I'm still living and struggling with these things. Now, I want the people in the listening audience today, the number 347-857-3293 to make any type of call and give us an answer how you feel about this, how American citizens are waging a war of depriving our people from Mexico from coming in, our indigenous brothers and sisters. Not all of them are bringing in street drugs or whatever drugs from down there. That's the problem here. And when I get to that point, Mary, I thank you for allowing all of us for making this point very clear. Because I want us, indigenous people, and some of you, American people, to wage a war against the protest. Think about it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Money. What an enlightening program you always give. And I want the audience to know that you will be back on air tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time here at Human Rights Demand for the broadcast of Native American Affairs, the Strongheart Warrior Society. You have a caller at 7526. How are you, 7526? Would you like to speak on air? 7526. Okay, obviously, Mr. Money, that's someone who was listening and does not care to speak on air right now. And I want you to know that all of you are welcome to call in to Mr. Money's presentations at 347-857-3293. Again, that is 347-857-3293. And I'm glad they let you back on air when they cut you off, Mr. Money. That is a wonderful of you cyberstalkers to let Mr. Money complete his message to the people regarding immigration from a Native American's perspective. And if I understood you clearly, Mr. Money, you said that the people who are coming in from a country that is called Mexico are actually indigenous people and that they should be allowed to cross the so-called border. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, because a lot of them are, they're trying to emancipate themselves and get away from that Spanish form of abuse at that type of falsified government. That government is destroying them, allowing American corporations to come in and neutralize their land base. And I want to say something that's really strong, okay? Let me ask you American citizens one simple question. How can you buy or sell the sky, okay? Get alone. Let's put it this way. How can you buy the warmth of a land that you don't own? And this idea that I'm sharing with you, it's not strange to people like myself and Mary and many others that understand their common ability that live in the structured environment at the freedom's request. At the freedom's request, okay? Yet the freshness is of our air that sparkles the water that we drink. No one should have to buy water. And if you decide within your own time to understand why you're destroying Earth, when you destroy Earth, the great mystery is punishing people that have no ability of what's happening. Look at all these floods that are going on. And again, there's another typhoon coming in and a hurricane. And there's many things happening in a spiritual concept. But or let me say this, and let me say this real openly. That's a part of Earth, okay, that is so sacred to us. As a people, every shiny needle of a pine tree, okay, or even a cedar brush, or even the aroma of sagebrush when it's lit smoke. This is an everyday lifestyle that indigenous people live with. It's a mist of reality that help us understand the evil of that falsified darkness that creates that type of division within a structured form of government, because that government is unholy. Keep that in your memory, folks. We experienced this. Now, we know that the white man does not understand our ways. He doesn't. One portion of that understanding, why do you continue to shame our land? When are you going to shame yourself for the next existing factor to your said children? I mean, think about it. Our children know how to play with your children, but it's you that restrict your children from playing with ours.
You see, that's the commonality of reality of people of color. So there is no reason why our people can't be quiet. Every white man's cities in this country of mine, there is no place to hear the leaves twinkle and crackle and rustle. You never hear the insects' wings flap together. Oh, wait a minute. But because this is slave mentality, silences you. My brothers, my sisters of all colors, remember, if this man can do this to himself by creating noise and destruction, this man can do this to his children. He is also going to do this to you. Our children have seen their fathers humbled in defeat, but yet our children also saw our warriors fight without shame. And this contamination of being forced into alcohol, slavery, drug slavery, the common, reality in that form of depriving people's rights of an enslaved mindset of that eurocentric behavior. Our people were never contaminated when the great mystery and Mother Earth and all the living creations gave us that ability to accept their freedom. This is a God-living statement and reality that we share with our listening audience today, because if the great mystery decided to enter his natural homeland, white man, how are you going to recognize this man? How are you going to answer him when he tells you that your truth was just a written story that had an end? When I decide this kind of acceptance, I make my conditions very clear. The white man must be treated like a child. He must be treated like an understanding of what people don't want to see in reality. And one thing we must understand, the white man may one day discover himself, but it's going to be a shameful experience when God has that same understanding to discover what his child has done. You may think I'm full of shit. You may think I'm lying. You may cut me down. You may call me everything in the book. But I promise you, America, I promise you, white citizen, that that man that you hung on that crucifix, one day that man and his father are going to come back and persecute you people. And it's here. It's here, and it's coming. And what befalls you will never befall others. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a great, great show that I have done to stand for our people that are trying to find a precious understanding with the remaining red man in Turtle Island, to seek about this understanding that we are all related to the creations of life, whether they're the winged creatures, the four-legged, the bugs, we are all related to them. We have a saying in Lakota, Wolakota kile ehoni oyate na wamakaskanki nena yokpitsya umpi. Ne etaha, taku waka kihena aikwaka kihena echa, yadle umpi apikte. Chante ogna, trete pikilena echa oyate hankikta oichakyapi. Na wamakaskanki nena wakapi. Yukha ieche tu, wichaka. Taku hena ospeunkyapi kihe, ehoni oyate okitwapi. Chaku luta kile kokata kia egna kapi. O yun ka wana la kota na oyate kokcha glena wakapi. Ash ini hasni. Wa man ka shtati lena echa. Isaki pinaji. Na wichi kokap. O kia pi na etaha. Wo kie kile na haksi. Kusha on kius kapi. E hani hechins ke woglaka. What I said in my language that is so pure in this continent known as Turtle Island, if it wasn't for the great mystery's teachings through our animal nations, we would fail to exist this God-forsaken day in the year 2014. I say this to all of you, not out of disrespect, not out of, Curry Colton something that I never lived. My grandfather and my late mother taught me these understandings to continue to share with people alike. And every one of you have the urgency to listen to yourselves. And to my girl, Antoinette Marie, if you're listening, my heart goes out to you. This is an attorney that I'm going to bring to the state of South Dakota to actually take a look at what's happening out here. And for this woman to take this opportunity to hear this sentiment, maybe she's listening on air. I urge her to call in 347-857-3293 and give your public opinion of what you hear today. And Mary, we got to continue this work to keep this understanding alive so our generation that are yet to come and the ones that are unborn do not get contaminated with this type of falsified encroachment at the hands of this Romanistic behavior through this education system. We remember this little thing. As long as the heartbeats of our animal nations and our women are no longer, under the ground, then a nation can strive to be free. But if they are underneath the ground, that is how a nation is conquered. That's a statement from here, from the Strongheart Warrior Society, given to the listening audience. Share this ability to really get all of you to get back into balance. Remember, I realized one thing in my struggles of life. I have placed myself and my family at an extreme, jeopardy. I'm even, man, putting them out there, man, to be, brought into death. But I'm a man. I'm a man trying to save what little poor people I have. And this is my truth that I'm telling you. I remember a lot of my history. I remember a lot of the atrocities that were being waged upon my people that almost drug us into our own extinction. But yet I still cast myself and I consider myself to give people that ability to understand that without the belief in your freedom, there is no independence and then there is no sovereignty. These are the illustrations that I constantly try to tell you people to wake up and get back into the basics of reality. And to make a long story short, when a government is established for the protection of the weak against the strong, this type of principle is not a sole motive of establishment. Remember, that's how these people legitimize the government. It is only the weaker parties that lose their liberties when a government becomes so oppressive, okay? And the stronger parties that are out there, they continue to utilize that government's ability to neutralize your freedom. By virtue, that's the superior strength they have. But remember, they never oppress themselves. They never oppress themselves. God damn it, I'm about ready to cry here. I'm fucking tired of this shit that I have to... Oh, man.
Well, Mr. Money, we are so glad that you put it plain to us regarding your Native Americans' perspective on immigration. I would just like to say that this nation is full of immigrants from all over Europe, all over Eurasia, we would say, as well as the reluctant immigrants from Africa who came in chains, most of them, and not of their own accord, and immigrants from the Latin American countries, including Mexico. So I was just reading about the immigration issue on CNN. It says, showdown, California town turns away buses of detained immigrants, is written by Michael Martinez at CNN. It says the national controversy over a surge of Central American immigrants illegally crossing the U.S. border established a new battleground this week in Southern California, in a small town where angry crowds thwarted detained migrants from entering their community In a face-off Tuesday, three buses carrying migrants behind screened-off windows. The demonstrators chanted, "Go back home! Go back home!" And USA has successfully forced the coaches to leave Marietta. CNN affiliate KFMB reported. The buses instead took the 140 or so undocumented immigrants to U.S. processing centers at least 80 miles away in San Diego and El Centro areas, the federal officials say. Counter-protesters squared off with the demonstrators, and a shouting match erupted over the nation's immigration system, which recently has been overwhelmed with a tide of Central American minors illegally entering the United States alone. They enter alone or with other children. A mix of poverty, violence, and smugglers, false promises, is prompting the Central American inflow. Unlike undocumented Mexican migrants, who are often immediately deported, the U.S. government detains and processes the Central Americans, who are eventually released and given a month to report to immigration offices. Many never show up and join the nation's 11 million undocumented population, says the National Border Patrol Council, the union representing Border Patrol agents. So there's the difference. People coming in from Central America are usually detained for a little while. They're given 1 month to report to immigration offices, whereas people from Mexico are sent right back. And so this little town in Southern California, Marietta, did not want these undocumented Central Americans in their area. They came out with their flags and shouting, "Go home, go back home," and they shouted, "USA." And it's interesting, is it not? Is it not interesting to see Europeans shouting at other people, "Don't come here, go back home"? You know, I mean, that is very interesting to me. I smile because, you know, these people came in by way of, many of them came in by way of the Statue of Liberty up there in New York. They came in around the time of World War II. And there was a big welcome printed right there on the Statue of Liberty for the Europeans who flooded America during that period. And we also know that during the earlier immigration to America, to Turtle Island, rather, from Europe, we know that immigration happened by way of, a lot of people think, the Mayflower. Well, I want you to know that the Mayflower only carried around 120 people, and that includes the captain and his crew. So most of the people who were the earlier settlers in the USA from Europe were actually sent here similar to Africans. They were sent here to be serfs. They were sent here to do slave labor for the gentry. And I want you to know, you know, Europeans, I want you Europeans to know that your mission is accomplished now. You came here, most of you, being serfs. And after a few years, 7 years generally, as a serf, you were given you know, land grants, and you were given the right to kill Native Americans. You were given rewards for bringing in scalps of Native Americans. You were given their land. And so now, all these years later, you stand out with American flags and you say, go home. You go home, you know. But I want you to know that this system, from what I can see, is not liking you any better than it's liking anyone else, because if you're a working class or a poor Caucasian, a working class or a poor Caucasian, you have started being killed in the streets by police. You started suffering brutal arrest. Many of your members are incarcerated without cause. All the things that used to be reserved for African Americans, for Native Americans, and what have you, have started increasingly happening to you. And I ask all of our European listeners to please go and watch that movie again. It's called Titanic, The Titanic. Watch the newest version of The Titanic. And you'll notice that everybody on that boat that I saw were Caucasians, yet we had a certain group of Caucasians who were relegated to the hold of the ship, and they were sleeping down there next to the animals. And when the boat hit the iceberg, they were locked in down there to drown because the gentry did not want to have to compete with the poor Caucasians for the few lifeboats that were available. So they simply locked them in down there to drown. And if some got out or were already out, they were shot. They were killed. So please recognize that white skin privilege does not go as far as it once did, because essentially the gentry in the USA seems to have decided they don't really need any of us. We have globalization now, and we have technology that makes it possible for the gentry to be quite successful running large corporations with their workers in any country, or even prison laborers. Many of our Caucasian brothers and sisters cheer when another black person or red person goes to jail. But you need to follow up on that and see that after you get so many in jail, your union jobs disappear, and they also go to jail, and they're being done by slave labor in jail. So, you know, it's truly a situation happening where that gives truth to that old saying, when you're digging a ditch for one, dig two, because you will fall into your own ditch. So now we have all of these people of color, usually people of color, incarcerated, 2.3 million prisoners altogether, none of whom have any right to self-autonomy. They must either do these jobs, this prison labor, or they'll be locked in solitary, because slavery is legal for prisoners in the United States according to the terms of the U.S. Constitution. So these people are the slave laborers, and now these major corporations have their slave laborers behind bars doing jobs that you probably love to have. They're working for Boeing Airlines. They're working for Starbucks. They're working for Victoria's Secrets. They're working for Microsoft. They're not just pressing license plates. And when you send more people to prison, including undocumented workers, they can also send more of your previously union jobs to prison, too. So this is the situation that's happening. America is returning to slavery on a large scale. And I want you to recall that when blacks were slaves, initially, when blacks were slaves, you were slaves too. You were also serfs. You were also slaves. Native Americans were slaves too. The only people who were not slaves were the gentry, the lords, if you will. And so as America returns to slavery, the middle class whites return to their serfdom. They return to the position of indentured servants. And they're doing this little by little. But please consider that police are killing you. Your homes are being taken. Your jobs are being taken. And it's not being taken. Your jobs and your homes and your bank accounts aren't being taken by those immigrants that you chase away. They're being taken by the gentry. The gentry. Because truly I say to you that we're in a situation now where the goods and services that we were able to offer in the United States and be considered of any value whatsoever, those goods and services are very well supplied now by people in third world countries. They've got a really huge prison labor force. And so you yourself might one day see people standing with signs saying, you go home, you go home. So just think about that. There is a very tremendous need for people to join hands, regardless of their socioeconomic background or their race. We need to recognize that we are all human beings, and we need to try to get along like human beings. And so I want to give Mr. Lani a chance to sign out today, but I just wanted to give you that thought to know that the Bible says treat others the way you want to be treated. And so that's the Bible that most Europeans in America claim to believe in. That's the same God who you claim to worship, who said, treat others the way you want to be treated. And so we certainly feel like God is a God who does not waste anything. You remember Jesus fed 5,000, and then he sent his disciples out to pick up the leftovers. He did not waste anything. So why would he waste his words? He has told us to treat others, do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So set a good example. Make sure what you're doing to immigrants is something you would want done if you one day need to cross a border. Because that day might come that you might need to rush and cross a border. And I want to thank you very much for coming. And I want to give you back to Mr. Money now. Mr. Money?
Yes, you know, that's really interesting. Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
You know, in closing to this part, what you said, you know, I want people to keep in mind that any type of legal understanding that can maintain and strengthen the distinct, you know, ability to understand what is happening today. And what Mary said proves a point. Deep inside ourselves, one day we're going to have to learn how to forgive this man for all this unhealthy predicaments that he's had forced upon us. So when I look back at that, the individuals that are waging this war against people of color by preventing them from entering our homeland, once again, European people need to ask, the First Nations people, who recognized you to understand your political endeavors? Didn't we collectively give you a right to pursue your own freedom and have some kind of peace?
we were the type of people that had the ability to show you guys an economic structure in a traditional basis. But unfortunately, when you saw the silver and gold stones that were upon this earth, that we saw less value. It meant nothing to us, but we were so rich in culture, in traditions, in our belief system, and the natural ability to communicate with nature, the four-legged, the winged creatures. You European people destroyed that amongst a majority of my indigenous people. So in reality, when that day does come, and we have to meet you at our borderline, as primitive we once were, it's going to be so difficult for us to forgive you for all the wrongs that you have done to us. Collectively, individuals have that life still today in a physical form. And most of all, the mentality, the integrity that comes with it is pursuant through the security of that person's liberty. And many of these people collectively still struggle to have that life of freedom, because we know what it is to be at peace when we're in nature. We know what it is to have peace when we're together. And most of all, we know how it is to love one another as that people that continue to live free without this type of violence of destruction that's forcibly removing every person of color, even their children, into that captivity of bondage. And so today's show about my brothers and sisters that are being driven out, I want the listening audience and many other indigenous people to look in their hearts and start understanding what is happening here, because this is what they're going to do to our reservations if we're not careful. And if we don't step up and start shutting our borders down and looking at this real independence, then your freedom is at stake. Mary, today has been a great, you know, show that I've ever encountered. And I want to say this in closing. To add to what I'm talking about this control, ladies and gentlemen, what is control's real name? Okay? What is the real name for control?
Tyranny. Domineering.
Those are just two suggestions.
It's tyranny, sir. See? No one knows. No, it's not tyranny. The real name for
what
control
is
bondage. Bondage, okay?
Bondage.
Yes, bondage. The logical conclusion to what I'm saying, if you're going to give up your rights, okay, and that type of society wants you to produce a society under that control to make it better, then you're giving up all of them to protect that system. That society is a corporation. Now, we could all might as well chain ourselves to the damn tree and say, go ahead, have it, because that's the lack of trust that you're not really seeing, because this is a real prevented crime that they're illustrating, okay? But it would be better off to destroy the privacy. And it's also a better way to neutralize and stop the heartbeat of that word freedom. If you have it inside you, it can't be destroyed, okay? So that foundation for that dignity is saying that, hey, if you don't do according to what I do, I'm going to put capitalistic control upon you. And once you allow him to take that bondage from you and illustrate it, the opposite control, it does not really give you the ability to assert your freedom. It can create a chaotic, you know, disform of this type of criminal mindset at that irrescentive disposal, okay? So the reality is, we must not give up our rights for them to make it wrong. We must continue to stand on our dignity of freedom, because that's where your independence is. You know it, and I know it, because the creed of itself by tyrants like America, which infringes that type of unhealthy, humanistic, you know, behavior, they, meaning the tyrants, they continue to create that type of creed of slaves to enforce bondage. That's what I'm saying to everyone that has listened to today's show, to really get a real grip about listening to that. And again tomorrow on the Strongheart Warrior Society show, I'll do everything in my power and my virtue and my wording to continue to support many people of color in giving back that type of protection for your freedom. Thank you, Mary, for allowing us to come on today. And my brothers and sisters, you're not alone. Come and join us and stand together as we protest the American protesters from barring our people, because they have not given up the fight to clean up their backyards. They're still desecrating our physical form of a being that resurrects its freedom within its own. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for allowing the Strongheart Warrior Society and Chanupa Gruha Money for stepping up and giving you the basic necessities of how our plea is continuing to assert our freedom of independence. Hokahe!
Thank you again, Mr. Money. And I want to thank you, radio audience, for joining us here for a special broadcast by Mr. Money regarding immigration. And I just wanted you to hear a Native American's perspective on that. I'm so glad that Mr. Money was able to give his understanding about immigration. And I want to caution everyone to be careful how you treat a stranger, because some people, without knowing it, have entertained angels. So let everyone grab hands with everyone else and try to treat everybody humanely. And I want to say that, yes, you are so right, Mr. Money. That word, that correct word, is bondage. I want you to know that I have been in bondage today when it comes to publishing the truth about another Florida death, and that was a young man named Daniel Lensinger. I'm pronouncing that word wrong. Please look at it for yourself. It's in Dog Justice for Mentally Ill blog. That's Dog Justice for Mentally Ill. This young man was killed when guards pepper sprayed him, and that burned his face, and it caused his mucous membranes to swell. And furthermore, when his air intake was already compromised by all of that painful pepper spray, then they covered his face with a transport spit hood. And a transport spit hood is a hood not unlike those that were used on the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay. The thing is that when they put him in that spit hood, it's called a transport spit hood, because, you know, they wanted to protect themselves from his snotting and spitting, trying to get rid of all that pepper spray that was burning his eyes, burning his nose, going into his mouth and swelling his membranes. He was spitting and he was snotting, and so they put this transport hood on him. But when they got him in the room with that restraint chair where he would die, they did not remove the hood. They were on their way out. They didn't stay in the room with him. Why did he have to stay in that transport hood when it is used to protect the guards from the mucus from a prisoner? Why did they leave it on him? In any case,
19-year-old Daniel suffocated in that restraint chair under that hood. He died. And so I wrote about that in Dog Justice for Mentally Ill, and I included an excerpt from another writer's article. Another writer wrote about this. See, the thing is, you can never censor just one person, you know, because other people are also writing about your atrocities to the mentally ill. So this writer's name is Susan Cooper Eastland. Susan Cooper Eastland. And she wrote an article in Folio Weekly. She wrote about Daniel's suffocation down there in Clay County Jail. She wrote about it. I used an excerpt from her article to write my article. And so I contacted her and let her know. Because, you know, you don't just use excerpts from other people's articles without asking or without letting them know, so they'll have a chance to protest if they want. And so I contacted her and let her know. I featured an excerpt from her article on my Dog Justice for Mentally Ill blog. And she said, thank you. And I said, but you know, there's a problem. I'm not able to share that article on Google+. It's being censored. They don't want people to know that Florida has killed another mentally ill inmate so soon after they just killed Darren Rainey. Darren Rainey was just scalded to death by corrections officers at Dade County Correctional Facility, and they don't want people to know that they're killing, you know, it seems like at least one a month down there. And so they wouldn't let me post about Daniel's murder on my Dog Justice blog. And so she said, that's Ms. Eastland, said, well, I'll post it on my Google+ blog. And so she tried to. But they turned the post that she was posting into a short link. And, you know, I warn you people about those short links. They make those short links lead to whatever in the hell they want them to. You don't see what those short links are really leading to. If you put the real link to an article, then you know where it should go. And so does the public, because sometimes you can read the title in the long links. But if you... if ever you place a link and they turn it into a short bit.ly link, then it can be used to lead to whatever they want it to. And that's exactly what they did to Ms. Eastland's link. Rather than it leading to the article that she thought she was posting in Dog Justice for Mentally Ill blog, it led back to her own article about the story in Folio Weekly. By the way, they did not let a graphic print like normal at Google+. And that way, they tricked her. So you can read about more tricks, because Americans no longer have free speech and freedom of press. But they're not overt with it yet. They do tricks to hide their censorship. You can see other tricks in that article, Internet Censorship, American Style, by Mary Neal. Internet Censorship, American Style, by Mary Neal. And one of the major stories that is being censored in America right now involved the brutality and murders of people who are handicapped in this country, the mentally handicapped or physically handicapped. And woe unto you if you are both. I have some stories in Dog Justice blog about people who were both mentally and physically handicapped, and they are very much in great peril. You know, people who don't have any concern for persons who are mentally and physically handicapped are dangerous to all of us. Understand that Nazi Germany did not start by killing Jewish people. Nazi Germany started by killing as many as 300,000 or 400,000 mentally ill people, or people who were labeled mentally ill, of every race. They even killed the so-called perfect race people, the Aryans, with the blonde hairs and blue eyes. They killed them, too, if they were labeled as mentally ill. And they're doing that now in America. They were isolated in Nazi Germany and exterminated. And this is what's happening throughout America. We don't have the kind of mass extermination that Germany had, but generally speaking, you will read about at least two or three people with mental illness who are killed in America weekly, and that's with them censoring many deaths. So please go to Dog Justice for Mentally Ill, read about Daniel, and try to select for it to be shared at Google Plus. I was blocked. Miss Eastland, E-A-S-T-L-A-N-D, was blocked because she thought she shared the link, but really it was the link to her own article, Folio Weekly, that posted. And so this is what they're doing. They're doing this to hide the brutality and wrongful deaths of mentally ill people. I'm greatly censored because my brother, Larry Neal, was secretly arrested and murdered after 18 days of secret arrest in Memphis Shelby County Jail in 2003. It will be 11 years on August 1st, and neither will the jail nor the USDOJ give us due process of law about that death. We don't have any paperwork about Larry Neal's federal arrest. We have not been given consideration of citizens and taxpayers in this USA. I have nephews who right now are in the U.S. military. They want from us their military service. They want from us their tax money. They want from us our compliance with the laws of this land, but they don't want to give anyone of color due process of law, especially when it comes to brutalities and murders that are perpetuated against our people. And I'm living proof of that. My brother is dead proof of that. So please go online to Dog Justice for Mentally Ill. My brother is dead, but there are many people who are yet in custody, and you could help save their lives. You could help restore them to wholesome living. I ask you to look online for a congressional bill called H.R. 3717, and it was introduced by Representative Timothy Murphy, and it provides remedies to how the mentally ill are mistreated in America for prison profits. You know, anytime people only consider people as being for their use to make money, as the prison system does and the prison investors do, then that's a problem. And people are being victimized. And you could have something to say about that, you know. So I want you to know, middle-class Caucasians and all people of color, that they don't think any better of you, the gentry doesn't, than you think of the immigrants. They really don't. Mr. Money, you have 60 seconds to sign off.
Well, you know, I wanted to thank everybody for giving us this opportunity again. And, you know, on the plight of immigration, America, you are the illegal immigrant. And I'm not saying that to be disrespectful. I want you to look at yourself and see exactly what you're doing. And for my brothers and sisters, you know, entering, you know, the real grandmother's homeland, welcome to Turtle Island, man. And hopefully that the success that you guys are trying to achieve will better give you the ability to understand us more truthfully, that we are the same. And Mary, again, thanks for the listening audience for giving us another day of, you know, producing more of the human rights, you know, affairs on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you again from the strong heart, Warrior Society. Okay.